Lord, right now, I pray that you wrap your arms around each and every person. Lord, right now, fill them with your compassion. Lord, let them feel your love right now. Father, no matter what part of the state of Ohio they're in, watching online, Father, I pray, or across this country, Lord, I bless them. Father, that they may feel your presence and your love right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. Okay. Well, Father's happy Father's Day. You know how I got woke up this morning? Honey. And she walked in the room, and I said, yeah, I know. I got to go cook. I did.
He's the grill.
I'm the grill guy, so it was him. I had to get stuff going for later. Yeah, ain't no big deal. I've been laying there all night thinking about it anyhow. Praise God. But listen, you know, we serve a great Heavenly Father, and if people, I get it. Some people didn't have a good example of a father. I get that. I'm telling you right now, without reading this, you're not going to know your Heavenly Father at all. You've got to read it. David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you understand? He was not allowed to touch, let alone read, the Holy Scriptures. Wasn't permitted for him. He remembered what was taught to him by his father, Jesse. He remembered it, and he hid it in his heart. He locked it away so nobody could steal it. If you got something precious, do you just leave it laying around? Oh, heavens no. I'm going to tell you right now, when I had kids, I kept an eagle eye on them. Sometimes they'd get away. We'd find them. I got some slippery kids. But I'm here to tell you, your Heavenly Father is no different. He knows where you're at. He knows when you shouldn't be there. And he'll make a way of escape. But you've got to get in there and know God's heart. If you don't, then you're missing who God is. All people see is God, the angry God. Or in the words of the famous message, that we're all sinners in the hands of an angry God. Well, I may mess up from time to time, but I don't live as a sinner anymore. So I do not identify, we'll use that phrase, as a sinner. I'm redeemed. That means I've been changed. And as soon as we realize that, then we can have victory over the things that have been kicking us in the rear end for all these years. But fathers, I'm not going to have you come up here today. We're not going to push people past anything. I don't want anybody feeling uncomfortable besides that. What are we doing? Oh, yes. I'm telling you. Watch the crowbars and baseball bats to the head. That's all I got to say. What we're going to do, though, this month is we've decided this month the entire tithe for that we were going to send a seed, but this month the entire tithe from this church is going to OCC. For the shoebox shipping. For those of you who didn't know, it went up significantly over the last couple years, and it had to. Okay? And you know, I'm not gonna lie, it became a hardship. But we still did it. And I already talked with Vicky, and we got some things rolling. And but you know what? This month when Angela asked me, I went through this list of things, and I said, you know what? That nothing spoke to me. And I knew what was speaking to me, and I wanted God to speak to her. Was it 5 minutes later? If that, she said, well, what do you think about OCC? I said, that's exactly what I was thinking. So we're going to do that. So I just want you to know, I don't see anything in the shoeboxes. You don't have to. Wouldn't it be great to get to heaven and somebody comes up you didn't know? It says, thank you. Thank you for sowing that seed. I was a little child. And I got a box. And you said you loved me. and that God loved me, and I gave him my heart. Because you did that, I'm here. So praise God. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that's God's heart. We can't just say, well, I don't see anything happening. I don't look at what's happening in the physical. If you're looking at what's happening in the physical, even right now, you're missing the true story. The spiritual is where it's at. No, I don't sit at home in trances, just so anybody gets that out of there. It's because I got this in me. I know what God has already said, and I can see it happening. So just know that. But fathers, I bless you today. You know, I always thought, you know, being dad would be easy. You know, it's really not. You mess up a lot. Same thing for mothers, since I didn't get to address you on Mother's Day. But folks, we're imperfect, but he is perfect. And if we'll listen to him, he will help us. That's all I can say. By far, I am not perfect. But in Christ, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than that conqueror that come. The spirit of the Antichrist has been here since Jesus, and probably before. But we're more. Dads, granddads, great-grandfathers. By being here today, you're being an excellent example to your children and your grandchildren. You're being an excellent husband. Do you know how many fathers would just as soon not come to church? They'd rather be out fishing. That's a Sunday. It's my day off. You work 4 or 5 days a week through the week. What happened to yesterday? Oh, that's the day I mow the yard. That's your day off, Einstein. Go fishing. Come home, mow the grass throughout the week. Well, I just got to unwind. Yeah. To each his own. I'm getting myself wound up. I'll get wound up, and life doesn't stop at 5 o'clock. That's all I got to say about that. But I'm going to bless the tithe and offering, but I'm also going to bless the fathers from up here. So I want y'all to know that you can be blessed near or far, here or in a car. It's the same blessing. Whether I touch you or not, it's about faith. It's not about whether I touched you, laid hands on you, and you felt the Holy Ghost. It's about your faith. If you believe, it's going to happen. Amen. Which, by the way, I got to realizing that I told two young ladies they'd be mothers the following year. Now, one is expecting and one is sitting over there. I forgot to tell the fathers you were going to be daddies. So, welcome to the club, guys. It's an exclusive club. It has benefits. Got a lot of heartbreak, too. Not in a bad way. But just so you know, it's your children grow, and you get grandkids. That's my redemption. I got grandkids. Spoil them. Send them home. Although the last time we spoiled one of them, she said, oh, he can spend the night. I slept on that much of the bed. How can one little boy take up so much real estate? I don't get it. And how can he kick so hard? That's what I want to know. All right, let's bless this tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for each and every father represented here today. Father, those that are at home, watching online, Lord, I bless them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now that their eyes are opened to who you are, who you really are, Father. And Father, that they may strive to be like you. Father, I don't want them to be like me. I don't want them to be like Peter. I don't want them to be like Paul. I want to be like Jesus, who is like you. So Father, help us all in that. And now, Father, we bring to you our tithe and our offerings. Lord God, I bless them. Your word says in Malachi that if we would bring our tithe and offerings into the storehouse, that you would open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessing we don't have room to receive, and curse the devourer for our sake. Lord God, that our fruits would not go bad in the field. Lord, I thank you for the harvest. Father, I thank you for each and every life that will be touched because of this seed right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. For those of you that are warm, I promise you the air conditioner is running. I'm sweating. And I've only been up here a couple minutes. For those of you at home, I'm going to be walking back and forth up here a lot. We've moved the camera over to the side and so that the aisle's opened up. But I tell you what, God is good. And before I get too crazy, I should have said this earlier. Next Saturday, we're going to have a little work party. If you can move rocks, would you come? Maybe four people would help, just because arranging rocks to look like they're on a creek bank isn't hard, but it's tiring when there's only a couple of you. So we got a little skid loader that I'll bring them in with, but just need people that can move the rock, roll a rock, take a shovel, move some sand. That's what we need next Saturday. Huh? No, men and women. I'm an equal opportunity. I grew up with sisters. Last time I checked, they can pick up rocks because they threw them at me. Oh, praise God. Probably because I threw something at them first. But anyhow, yes, sir. Time, 9 o'clock. We'll do it before it gets hot. Hopefully, I haven't checked radar, but hopefully there's no rain. But we'd like to finish up the other landscaping side. Like I said, for those of you who don't know, that big rock that's sitting over there, most of you saw it. Tim and I could barely move it. That's how heavy that one is. That one is just ridiculous. It might be an asteroid for all I know. The thing is super heavy. It's either that or the stuff that they made Thor's hammer out of. But praise God. So we're just going to try to get that finished up, so to beautify that, because we'd really like to start using the front doors pretty quick. We got a little bit more work to do over in that area, and then we're using them. So this morning, I want to talk to you today about the power of God. The very thing you need to have in your life. If you don't have the power of God operating in your life, you have nothing. Well, I got saved. That's great. Why are you getting beat up all the time? Does anybody like getting beat up? Just show of hands. Anybody like getting punched? Last time I got punched, I did not like it. At all. So, we need to know about the power of God, because I don't know about you, but the devil has no right to you. He's going to try. Don't get me wrong. The devil will try. People say, well, I got the blood of Jesus. The devil is going to try. I would not expect anything less from my enemy but to try to defeat me. Japan was told not by their leading generals, do not invade the United States. Do not agitate the United States. You don't know what they're capable of. The emperor didn't want to hear it, and we know the results of it. The devil would like for you to think that you're weak. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit of why I God really took me on this road was because you have all the power you need. We used to sing this song. He's got all the power you need to overcome. I don't believe that a revival is going to be necessary to give you the power. It's as a big movement. It's got to start in the churches. It's got to start in the small churches, the large churches, to understand the power, to utilize it. The Bible says one of us can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000 demonic forces to flight. Those are outstanding odds. Imagine what happens if 100 of us join together in faith, believing for the same thing. Revival, in its general sense, does not... It leads to the church of people repenting. That's great. How about the lost that aren't here, period? What are we doing about them? I've been in revival after revival after revival after revival. I grew up in revival. Every time a tent threw up in the middle of a field, there we were. Thunderstorm, no matter what. I think there was a tornado on one of them. I remember sitting in water. Couldn't tell you a thing they said. But what I want to tell you, though, is God has already done everything. We're waiting around for a fresh move of God. We need this, we need this, we need this. Lord, if I just had a double anointing. Who's double anointing? Well, I want double of Jesus. It was good enough for Jesus. Isn't it good enough for you? But I want what Elisha did. I'm going to press in. I'm going to believe for double from what Elijah, what he got from Elijah. Elijah didn't obviously operate in everything he was capable of. Seriously, folks, he asked God to kill him. God also had another purpose for him. That's why he didn't. You'll see Elijah. I don't know if we will. Revelation says they'll see Elijah and Enoch in the streets of Jerusalem preaching. But we don't need a double anointing of anything. He's already gave you everything. When he said it is finished, it is all finished. The power to overcome, the power to be free, you've got it all right there at your hands. Use it. You know, today, and that is the great thing, you know, I mean, I love it from the gearhead standpoint of, oh, yeah, more power. You know that, right? You all remember Tim the Tool Man. More power. Oh, here we get more power. More power isn't always good, is it, guys? I was teaching Justin. He got the lawnmower stuck on the hill the other day, and it was in a very precarious spot. A little bit further, he was going to, one, mow over Mom's hostas and drive it over the edge of the hill into the driveway like this. And so he got on it and he just gunned it. Well, the bar tires just slid in the grass and he was able to hit the parking brake and just stopped and looked over at me. Dad, I said, all right, come here. Let's show you how to do this. Ease in on the power and let the tires move slowly without slipping. Now mud, if you've been to a mud run, you know there's one way to get through mud. Power. Oh, yeah. Lots of power, big tires and power. You got to sling the mud. I watched a friend take his relatively new truck. He decided he didn't want to drive down the road on this construction job, a huge field over 1,000 acres. He wanted to drive through the field, and wouldn't you know it, he drove through the only soft spot. He had a Z71, and he just tried to creep it through. Did not want to get mud on the side of his truck. It was a year old. Did not want to get mud on that Z71. We're like, man, you got to nail it. Nope. So what did he do? He went and got it stuck, buried it up to the axles, went and got the little tractor that we use. Well, he got the tractor stuck. Ended up having two tractors to pull him and the thing out. And we're like, man, why didn't you just nail it? Or better yet, go on the road. But anyhow, We've got to understand the power that we've got. God has given us such great power. We don't need to go adding our things to it. We don't need turbochargers. We don't need superchargers. We've got all the power we need in Christ Jesus. We've got to use it. If you can't put it to the wheels properly, you can have 1,000 horsepower and still lose a race. The great thing about these cars today, the motors aren't necessarily bigger. They're utilizing and transferring the power better. The Corvette, I know there's people going to hate me here in a second, was really a piece of junk. Really. It was not quick. It's super uncomfortable. But then somebody started getting smart. Hey, let's put some weight back here. Let's put the transmission back here. Let's start doing some things different. Let's start getting the power ratio to the wheels better. Let's start getting traction better. Most of your cars today, if you got a new car, has traction control. You can turn it off. You won't spin as long as it's on, but boy, you turn that off, you can light your tires up. It's about utilizing the power you've got. With technology, we've learned to take little motors and create big power. Richard's got a Camaro that's got a V6 in it. 300 horsepower. That's what my truck has in it with a V8. Technology. We've learned to apply things and get them there. We don't need technology with the Word of God. Yeah, it's great to get it out across the internet, get it around the world. You've got to apply it. Do you know where you start applying? Instead of waiting until you got till you're faced with a life and death situation, start believing God to take your headache away. Start believing God for every little ache and pain. I'm not going to say, I will not be a liar and stand up here and say, no, I don't hurt. Y'all know my past year. I hurt quite a bit. But I refuse to let it be what I focus on. And by the way, ibuprofen works. I do know preachers, oh, I don't take anything. Okay, I'll take my ibuprofen from the VA. They love that stuff. They loved it when we were on active duty, and they love it now. But you see, folks, if we will take what we know and just start applying it, then we'll build up greater faith. I went to the military. I know God sent me to the military to understand authority. That's how I understand God. I learned more personally about God in the Marines than anywhere else. And I grew up from the age of 8 up until I left home in the church. I understood God's authority now that when He says something, stuff happens. He's better than E.F. Hutton. Everybody listens. Even the devil. So what we're going to look at this morning is the power that you've got at your hands. Don't be asking, Lord, I want a double portion. Double portion of what? Jesus gave you everything. There is nothing left. The vault is empty. He said, here it is, guys. It's yours. Now, I know I got a bunch of guys in here who love to shoot. If you walked in to somebody's armory and they opened up their vault and they said, it's all yours. Take what you want. Are you going to leave anything? I'm not. I'm going to have things stuffed in my boots and pockets. However, I've only got one shot in there. I'm coming out struggling because I want it all. Jesus gave us all when He said, it is finished. And then when He gave up the ghost, the Bible says that the veil was torn. That thing was 6 inches thick, woven. In other words, impossible to tear. But what it represented was God's power being taken out of the Holy of Holies and now being put upon us. You and I have a greater thing today than Elijah or Enoch ever had. They never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. The Holy Spirit would come upon. Read your Bible. It said the Spirit would come upon them. Not they walked around with the Holy Spirit living in them, giving them insight all the time. And by the way, both of those two, Enoch and Elijah, they had one purpose at the end, and that was to call God's people to repentance. That's the spirit, we'll call it, of Elijah that should be roaming the earth today, is to call God's people, first off, to repentance. Quit playing your stupid games. This thing is very real. And if you've paid attention to the parable of the 10 virgins, five were wise, right? And five were foolish. And only five went with the bridegroom. And that was the wise ones. The ones who had enough word to stand in the midnight hour. Where are we at? I believe we're about to hit the midnight hour. I don't think this thing's done. Not by a long shot. Am I worried? Absolutely not. I'm going to read you some things. I mean, I got some good word. So open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 10. Go to verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. By the way, demons are real. People think they aren't. They are very, very real. And I know this from personal experience. Not that I was possessed, but I have interacted with people who were. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Okay. I've pointed this out, and I'm going to point it out again so you understand more about Scripture. Jesus, because it'll make sense at the end, Jesus and every angel that fell once served together. Jesus was not rejoicing in the fact that he had authority over his once friends. It's like serving with somebody in a battle only to find out a couple years later that they switch sides. I don't know, I guess it's kind of like a whole Star Wars story, isn't it? Tell you what, science fiction's kind of freaky on some of the stuff that wow, that's pretty interesting. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So many people rejoice, and they're writing songs about having power over demons. Whoop-dee-ding-dong. Jesus said, don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is in heaven. It's written in a book. In blood. Now, I want to read something to you that's not going to show up there, but the word hurt, when he said nothing by any means shall hurt you, this is in the Greek, it's the word adikio. It means to do an injustice, to act criminally or unrighteously, to violate any human or divine law, to do wrong or mistreat others. The word is a compound of without and dike, right. Hence, an illegal action, adikio, consists of offending legally, general wrongdoing, social injustice, and inflicting hurt or damage on individuals. At this point, and this was, I read this word wealth out of Acts chapter 25, verse 10, where Paul was being told by Caesar, he said, would you go back to Jerusalem and be judged by me there? And he said, I did nothing to the Jews. I did them no harm. Folks, nothing by any means. No harm. No social injustice. Doesn't mean the devil's not going to try. You need to understand, we have so underestimated our enemy because we've said, well, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. Well, if he's under your feet, why is he walking around? Put him back under your feet. How do you say that? You stay in faith. Oh, I'm not going to go. You know, listen, I don't suggest you go downtown right now in Columbus. Absolutely not. When the mayor says the police can't help you, if you ain't armed, you have no business being there. However, if God told you to go there, I'm going to tell you right now, you could walk right down the middle of that street and every demon in hell will know who you are. They know who you are now anyhow. Be a threat. Y'all, most of us remember the seven sons of Sceva. Seven boys who watched Paul casting out demons out of real demoniacs. And they found one guy. They thought, oh yeah, we're going to cleanse this old boy. And they go over there and they say, come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. The old man stood up, the demon spoke up and said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? So my question right now is, who are you? Who are you? Do they know your name? We love the little memes running around on Facebook. I am the storm. Are you? Do the demons in hell shudder when you wake up? Oh, man, she's up again. Man, can't you just give her some more sleep? She's your beloved. Give her rest. A little more beauty rest. Do you know what she's going to? She's going to cause problems to me today. I've been telling her all these lies. She's not biting. Now, let me turn back here. There we are. I get back to my right scriptures. He said, I give you authority. You have to have authority in an area in order to operate. No other preacher can come in here and say or do anything without me first letting him, because I'm the authority. No drill, when I was in boot camp, no drill instructor could, well, they did, they tried several times. I don't know about you guys. We'd had drill instructors walk up behind our platoon because everybody sounded like they'd been eating rocks for the last 6 months. They'd walk up and they'd give commands and people would move, and our drill instructors were watching and they jumped all over them because they didn't know the voice of their instructor and they just obeyed anybody's commands. He didn't have any authority over that platoon. We have to know the Word of God. That's why you got to know the Word of God, so you know God's voice. He said, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, serpents and scorpions is a metaphor. Somebody say metaphor. It don't mean your can needs to be picking up a rattlesnake and dancing around like a moron with it. I watched a video of a guy doing this. The guy died, by the way. He was the faith preacher. Big old diamondback. I'm like, what part of stupid did you wake up on? And he wasn't even the dumbest. And I'm using these words I know that offend people, but they get the point through to people. This guy's up here dancing. They got this rattlesnake. I'm like, man, that would look like a pretty good pair of boots to me. He's got this rattlesnake up here, and he hands it off to this guy, and they're all dancing around sharing rattlesnakes. And up here on the stage, back here, kind of like this guy, there's a stool back here, and this guy's sitting back here with a propane torch. He hands it to the other guy. The other guy looks at him, are you nuts? I think you're all nuts, personally. But that's not what the scripture meant. It's not what it means. It's a metaphor for satanic forces. Revelation says that that dragon, the serpent of old, the one we call the devil, Satan. It's a metaphor. Serpents are a metaphor for, in my opinion, for, no, not even my opinion, but what I've seen in the Word of God, for religious spirits. I know that sounds crazy. I guess, 10, 15 years ago, I started having a lot of dreams about snakes. And I'm like, okay, this is starting to concern me a little bit, Lord. I know snakes aren't a good thing in the Word. And so I started having all these dreams, and then God started showing me where Jesus called the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, of their father Satan, the snake. Where even John the Baptist said, you brood of vipers. Every time they talked like that, they were addressing religious people. Religion controls. Relationship does not. Okay? When God showed me, I actually taught the message years ago. And so when he's talking about this, folks, he's talking about religious demonic forces. Not every church is birthed of God. There are some that deny Jesus Christ has risen. There are some that deny his power. There's some that deny the blood. I tell you right now, when you deny all that, you deny God. Religion is death. And that's what happens when a snake bites you, right? I mean, other than garter snakes and black snakes. Let's say you get a copperhead. You don't have a whole lot of time. It's going to make you really, really, really sick. At the minimum. I see these guys, like I said, I watch those videos from India, and these guys playing around with these big old king cobras. And I mentioned the king cobra for a reason. There's a reason. A guy just smacked that cobra on top of the head. The cobra struck at him. He's got his hood flared the whole 9 yards, and the old boy just reached, whack! I want you to understand, that wasn't the only cobra in this little area about the size of this. I bet there were 70 cobras in that room. Why? I don't know. But the guy, I don't know if he's crazy, but he had my respect for going in there. I'm like, I'd have gone in like with a flamethrower. I think the king cobra is one of the coolest snakes there is, though. I always went to the zoo to see it. Never could get it to raise its head. Just laid there and looked at me like a black snake. Like, I can see them in the backyard. But we've been given those power over religious demonic forces, okay? And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing is going to come harm and cause you social injustice. I'm not worried about what's going on. I'm not. It's all demonically influenced, I'll tell you right now. Anything with hate that bad is demonically influenced. I don't care if George Soros is the root of it. If he is, I got a question for you. Why hasn't he been arrested as being a Nazi anyhow? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's demonically influenced right now, and there are people all over the world who are aligning themselves with it. Because, well, we'll get what we want. You ain't gonna like what you're about to get. Now, Mark chapter 16. Let's see if I can get. And what did I say? Verse 17 through 18. And it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now, listen. Again, we talked about the snake stuff, right? God didn't mean for there to be a box of rattlesnakes under the front row, and to show, that's what it's for, is to show your faith. It's a work, it's a man-made work of faith, but that's what they're supposed to be doing, is showing their faith. No. I will tell you this and guarantee it. You play with snakes, you get bit. I don't care what snake it is, they all bite, don't they, Addie? She got bit by a garter snake. He left, what, 10 teeth in her thumb? 12? Every snake will bite you. People that got these big old pythons at home and you got a little child, you're crazy. It is in that snake to eat anything that it can get its mouth over, and if not, it will try. Every snake will bite you. There's no snake that's your friend. Now, They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. We've talked about tongues. I'm not going to get into that right now. It's scriptural. That's all there is to it. It is totally scriptural. By the way, I equate it to having a single shot rifle that you got to keep loading every time to a fully automatic weapon. You don't have to. The devil takes off running when you pull out the Holy Spirit. And they will take up serpents. Again, we're not supposed to be playing with them. Now, we can look at the Apostle Paul as a great example. When he was shipwrecked, he reached in to pick up a bundle of wood to throw it on the fire. And when he did, a serpent latched onto his hand. And the Bible says he just shook it off into the fire and walked on. And everybody was waiting for that snake bite to kill him. On that island, they served the pagan god Justice. And they believed that Paul had done something so evil that their god Justice was bringing justice to the situation. But when Paul shook it off into the fire and he sat around there for hours, no fever, no delirium, and he didn't die, they said, why? And he was able to preach the gospel to them and got everybody on that little island saved. Didn't mean he would go around playing with snakes. I'm not afraid of snakes. I've caught plenty of snakes. If they got teeth, I catch them with the 12 gauge. That's just all there is to that. I don't play around with snakes that got two teeth in the front. And now I know PETA will be picketing. See, I got a message last week from Facebook that they silenced part of our sermon or our message and stuff last week because apparently we sang a song that they said we didn't have rights to, which we do. We pay for the CCLI, CCLV, so we can play videos. The only thing we can't do is Disney, and why would I want to? So they muted it. I sent them a beautifully written reply back to feel free not to edit my stuff without asking me first. So hear that, Facebook editors? We have the right. Which takes me to, we'll probably try to stream before too long over to our actual website. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't preach Jesus. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't preach about the power of God. And it says, you shall drink any deadly thing. Don't go drinking battery acid, think it's not going to hurt you. I promise you, it's going to do bad things to you. I've told you before, I actually know what antifreeze tastes like. Well, not because I was drinking it. Because somebody that didn't know what they were doing pulled a radiator hose above my head. I was under the truck. It's very sweet. But it'll kill you. It's poison. Don't go drinking stuff and say, here's where my faith is. I'm going to drink this antifreeze, and it's not going to harm me. Yeah, I wouldn't bank on it, because you know what that is? That's called pride. God says, I oppose the proud. God gave me grace when that happened, because I wasn't trying to be stupid and drink antifreeze. So nothing shall by any means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's why I said, you know what? Start using your faith right now. Believe for yourself. Start with yourself. Start believing God. Honestly, I find it hard to believe God for my personal healing, harder than to pray for somebody else. I really do. I don't know why it is like that, but I've prayed for too many people and they have recovered from cancer and things of that nature. We even laid hands on one guy who died right over here. By the way, he raised up. Yeah. I'm not going to worry about stuff. I'm going to pray for people. You've got to believe. You've got to believe in the authority that you have. You can pray. You don't. And by the way, you don't have to draw attention to yourself. Personally, I'm kind of more of the, I always like the sniping type deal. The sniper movies, man. Nobody, you got to find the sniper. the most deadly person out there, you got to find him because he can pick you off and you don't know where he's at. Everybody says, I want to do this machine gun stuff. Anybody that's ever fired a machine gun knows it's a suppression weapon. You got that's what your rounds look like on a wall. They're all over the place. Yeah, you might get the enemy, but I was raised taught one shot, one kill. Take your time, do it right, make sure they're dead, and move on to the next one. When the enemy's coming after you, first off, address what it is. What's coming after you? Ask God. And ask God for the true source of it. God, why is this bothering me? Most of the time, the thing that triggers us is not the thing that's after us. It's been something else that's been after us the whole time. Know what you're after. Jesus asked the demoniac when he spoke to the demons, remember, on the gatherings, he said, what is your name? He wanted to address the name. Because one, I believe he knew there was more than one. And if he had just addressed the one's all that had to leave. You understand what I'm saying? But by the pride of the demon, he said, we are many. We are legion. He said, good, legion, go. They all had to go because they unified and said, we are now one. And by addressing themselves as one, they had to bow to the power of Christ. So when you're dealing with the things in your life, deal with them, but go to the root of the problem. God, why am I... Listen, I'm gonna hit this, okay? God, why do I keep turning to bad relationships? Why do I keep turning to drugs? Why do I keep turning to alcohol? Why? When you address those, I'm going to promise you, you're going to find down here in the bottom, there's this little thing called unforgiveness. And unforgiveness will keep releasing that, and you will keep finding comfort in that pain. You following me? Just like there are some people, they identify with being depressed all the time because it's where they're comfortable now. They've been depressed for so long, they're afraid to get out of it. I knew a blind man in North Carolina. And his brother was our pastor. I've seen God move and miraculous things take place. And he told his brother, he said, I don't want God to heal me. He asked him, he said, why? He said, I've been blind all my life. What will I do? This was his older brother. He said, what will I do? I don't know how to do anything but be blind. So he was comfortable in his blindness. Just the same way some people are comfortable in their depression. When you start feeling that thing coming over you, that darkness, I see a lot of Marine vets on one of my Facebook pages, and they'll ask for prayer. Some of them say, I feel the demons. Identify and stand your ground. Cast them down by the name of Jesus. That name has all the power. I realize it's a Roman name. Don't get your drawers in a wad. If you want to get Jewish, Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua, just make sure you don't translate that to English, because that's Joshua. Yeshua. But they know Jesus too. They've been bowing to that name ever since it was given to him. So you have the authority. You have to walk in it. You have to understand. One of the things Paul said was, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. Well, I'm here to tell you, when you come here, God says, I got to grow you up. And I'm going to tell you right now, time is so short, we don't have a lot of time. I'd love to give people years and years and years to grow up. But they don't have it. We've got to grow up to be able to stand, to be able to fight. This is boot camp, baby. 13 weeks. You're going to know everything. I don't know in 13 weeks, but you have got to be able to stand and identify what's coming out. As a mechanic, I had to figure out what the real problem was. What's causing this to do this? Not every time was it the most obvious thing, because nowadays they've got sensors. on everything. And the sensors aren't always up where you can get them. Because some engineer said, hey, this is a good place to put this. In behind the dashboard, so you got to stand on top of your head and, yeah. I've been inside D9 dozers and loaders where twisted around just trying to get this little sensor out. You got to find the problem. Identify it. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You know what the problem is. I'll tell you right now. Save your money with the shrink. They'll tell you the same thing. You know what the problem is. You just don't want to admit it. When you admit the problem, God can help you. Isn't that the first thing they teach you in AA? You got to admit you got a problem. If you don't admit it, well, you're arrogant. In my book. Now, Psalm 91. Got to get my glasses back on. 91, we're going to go to verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You want to know where I've been standing during all this garbage? Right here in Psalm 91. You know, when I was on active duty, I didn't hear anybody pleading Psalm 91 over the troops. And, well, of course, I was the troop at that point, so... But nobody sent me little scripture things with Psalm 91 on it or t-shirts and bumper stickers and all this stuff going around. But now, when Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom began, we started doing that. We started claiming this. But this goes for us as well. It's not just those in the military. It's us. He said a plague. For he shall give his angels charge over you. By the way, his angels kind of need you to tell them what to do too. I believe that's what Paul was directing. When I was an NCO and I had to move my troops as a platoon, I had to address the platoon. I couldn't just jump out and say, oh, attention. No. I addressed platoon. So everybody knew who I was speaking to. And they had to know my voice because there was another platoon next to them. And when I gave the commands, and then there were commands I could give to each individual squad to make them do something. But you see, just like Marines know their drill, angels know the word. And they're waiting for you to call the word into existence, to give the command. He said, he shall give his angels charge over you. Oh, let me keep on going. This wasn't just spoken of Jesus, just FYI. They'll give you angels charge over to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Why the cobra? It's the king of the snakes. Cobra, the king cobra, it eats other snakes. It's the big boy. Imagine, if you will, an 18 to 21 foot snake. From that wall to about right here. That's what a big king cobra is. Want to guess what kind of snake I believe that Moses, or when his rod was thrown down before Pharaoh? You want to know what kind of snake I believe it turned into? The king cobra. Because it ate the other two. Anyhow. Shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep those things where they belong, they aren't going to harm you. But if you start listening to what the serpent has to say, just like Adam and Eve, they listened. Remember this. The serpent's kiss is the world's caress. The world's caress is the serpent's kiss. You're listening to the world saying, you don't have to be so radical in your faith. Just take the name of Jesus or the blood of Jesus out of your religion. Don't be so regimented on the unborn. Just live a little, have a little fun. That's the world's caress. That's the serpent's kiss. And it's deadly. Because he has set his love upon him, because God has set his love upon him, upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Folks, again, you're not going to know unless you read your word. We've been blessed to be in such a time that the vast majority, I'm going to ask, but no show of hands. Is there anybody that can't read? I'm not saying you have to read well. But most of us can read, right? Or we can fake it pretty good. I mean, I faked Japanese pretty good there for a while. We can fake it. But we know. But if you don't know the Word of God, most of us know how to read. Most of us have at least one of these in our house. How about picking it up? Well, I don't know where to start. John. Start in the book of John. Then go to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then ask God where to go. I personally love Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. I love reading particularly some of the history in the Torah, the first five books. You've got to know this word. If you don't know the Bible, you don't know squat. You can sit here and say what you want, believe what you want, but if it doesn't line up with God, it doesn't work. There's this little clause in the military that says lawful order. I had to give lawful orders. I couldn't just give orders willy-nilly. They had to be lawful. So yes, the movie A Few Good Men, at one time, they might have done stuff like that. Today, absolutely not. But you know what's sad to me about that stuff? They're forced by law to keep people who are unqualified because they have quotas. Run them out. If they can't hack it, pack it. But we have lawful orders. We have law right here. Law and order right here. God has his way of doing things. And if you will speak God's will into existence, into your life, into your children's lives, watch what God will do. I guarantee you, my path took a whole different turn than what my parents ever thought. They came home one day and I was gone. I'm in Cleveland. Well, don't sign anything. Oh, I won't sign anything. I swore in. Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh. Too late. But it was God's will for me. I'm not saying everybody's got to go to Marine boot camp. You're getting it right here. No. No, I haven't called you some of the names I got called. But listen, if we'll walk in the authority God has given us as believers, we don't have to take the beating. We don't have to be afraid of the stuff that's going on outside. Is it concerning? Absolutely. Do I still carry a gun? You better believe it. I don't believe in being stupid. But God has showed me time and time again that even if that were to happen, I have authority as a believer over the demonic powers that are fueling them. I just have to make sure that I'm not letting the garbage of the world infiltrate and influence how I'm believing. I'm believing for a great harvest of souls, of people that have never known Jesus. People who have known Jesus to get more on fire. But you're not going to do it if you aren't in your word. I'm going to tell you, you can come up and lay on the floor all you want. If you don't know this, you don't know God. He gave us his word. And I'm going to tell you right now, your word says that it is sharp as a two-edged sword. When that thing goes in, it's cutting on both sides. And the devil doesn't want you using the word of God. He doesn't want you to know the word of God. He wants you just to shut up and take it. And when you feel the demons coming in, everybody's got them. I'm going to tell you right now, you can say, I don't. You know when they come, don't you? You can feel it. I can just kind of feel it crawling up my back and start tightening my shoulders. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Enough is enough. Devil, get your hands off of me. You have no right. I refuse to receive anything you got to say. And by the way, I'm the preacher and I have to do that. Everybody has to. Yep. Cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you do that, the devil has to flee. Resist him. Stand against him. All right, let's stand. If you see something happening in the world, in the news, I know many of you, God has led to cut out some of it, just get the blips. Praise God. Do not let the garbage influence you. Don't let. How many of you got woke up at 12:05 last night with an Amber Alert? Holy moly, did that. I had no idea what was going on. My phone's over here. How many of you prayed? Yeah, right then. 10-year-old little boy went out to play with some friends and he never came home. They believe it was a 34-year-old man. No. Devil, you don't have it. I started praying right then. Lord, protect this child. I didn't know who it was. All I could see was an Amber Alert. I started praying. That's what we need to do. Don't let that deter you from doing what God has called you to do. You have to keep going. You have to keep marching forward. You pray. You have to understand there are troops coming behind you to take care of these things. If you're a frontline troop, you didn't pick up the dead. There were troops coming up behind you to do that. You kept moving. We've got to conquer what the devil is trying to start. We're holding it. We are indeed holding it off. The world is not going to like what's going to happen to it. That's all I can say. They think they want this. They have no clue what they're in for. No clue. So we're living in some times that are interesting, they're scary, but only if you let it scare you. Remember who you are. Oh, Pastor, I don't have the training you had. You don't have to. I'm trying to tell you who you are right now. You didn't have to be a Marine, Army, Navy, Air Force. You don't have to be a vet. You have to be a believer. That's it. That is all you have to be, is a believer in God. And understand his authority and trust him. When you plead the blood of Jesus over your family, trust it. I can tell you so many things that God has stopped. I rode a barn roof down one time. You cannot get off of them fast enough. I hit the ground on top of a pile of metal and wood, laughing. Joshua came running around. He was 6. Scared to death.
Well,
God protected me. God will protect you too. You'll come through it. Trust me. Amen. All right, I'll shut up. Again, happy Father's Day, guys. Enjoy the day. If you can't get home with your children, know that you're still loved. Just know it. And I bless you. I want you to know how much God loves you. There's a reason why the devil wants the Father shut down in the world. He don't want them to know how good a father can be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful that you have adopted us. Father, you've taken us in and you've loved us. Father, you brought us in. You have made us family. Now, Lord, I pray that you help us all to understand, no matter what our faith level is right now, Lord, that you will raise it up so that we can be more than conquerors. Father, that when we do walk down the street, and we walk into a neighborhood where the devil has a stronghold, Father, every demon around begins to scream that they are being invaded. Lord, I thank you. I praise your name for all that you've done for us. Father, that when Jesus said it is finished, salvation was finished. Our power, he gave us it all. And then you poured your Holy Spirit out upon us. We are so grateful for that. But now, Father, I bless your people. I ask, Father, you move in their lives today. Father, touch them. Heal any and all sickness in the name of Jesus. Father, we curse disease in the name of Jesus and speak life to their bodies. And now, Father, again, I bless each and every believer today here. Father, within the sound of my voice, Father, I pray that you move in their lives this week. Father, I pray that you direct their paths, keep them straight, in the name of Jesus. Amen.